Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon. Hope you're doing very well. Buckmaster is live weekdays noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We're also Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, live streaming our show on my website, buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. And we make this program very easy for the listener to listen to us really anytime, anywhere in the world. We podcast our programs at buckmastershow.com, also posting to tucsoncitizen.com and tucsonsentinel.com as well. We'll get things rolling with Gary Arbuck. Gary is with me. Gary is the founding president of the World Federation of Chiropractic. At 20 minutes past the hour, we'll have a preview of this weekend's 8th annual Benson Bluegrass Festival in the Park. 30 minutes past the hour, our CEO interview series presented by Trio. Today features the head of the Tucson Association of Realtors, Philip Tedesco. And then we'll close out the show with Tom Collier, the Buckmaster Show contributor on consumer affairs. We have more than two dozen contributors, regular contributors to the program. You can see the whole list of them on our website, buckmastershow.com. Now, our lead interview today with Gary Arbuck. For many, the field of chiropractic medicine is considered something of a stepchild of the medical profession. Gary is with us today, and he has just returned from South Africa, where he was the guest of the World Federation of Chiropractic. He is the founding president of that organization as they celebrated their 25th silver anniversary. Dr. Arbuck is also one of the leading artists of platinum photography, with his works appearing in the Smithsonian and the Library of Congress. He also dabbled in politics for a while. He was former congressional candidate on the Democratic side. He ran against Jim Colby back in 1994. Gary, it's good to see you.
Bill, it's nice to be with you today.
Talk about this perception that many have that your field of chiropractic medicine is somehow lesser than others in the medical field.
It stems from the fact that a long time ago, as chiropractic developed as a profession and began seeing remarkable results, the political arm of the medical profession, the American Medical Association, saw the chiropractic profession as a threat to their practitioners and made a concerted effort to contain and eliminate the chiropractic profession. Now, this was happening unbeknownst to the chiropractors at the time until about 1970, when certain papers were made available to chiropractic doctors that this covert effort was ongoing, and a large federal antitrust suit was initiated against the AMA, which was won by the chiropractors all the way up to the Supreme Court.
So there was a point there the MDs weren't even allowed to talk to chiropractors.
That's correct. It was considered unethical for a medical doctor to even speak with a chiropractor on the telephone for fear of losing their AMA membership.
You have a very unique involvement with the chiropractic profession. You've just returned from Durban in South Africa after enduring a nearly 40-hour flight, several flights to get down to Durban, South Africa. How was that conference? It was a major conference, wasn't it?
The conference was remarkable. There were probably 1,500 attendees coming from all over the world. There was major research presented, which is always a function of the congresses, which are held every 2 years. And that's been a big change in the chiropractic profession over the last 25 years, is the fact that research has taken the number one priority of changes seen by the profession. And it's led to many, many changes in the practice and in the acceptance of chiropractic worldwide.
You left, you didn't leave the profession entirely during that 10-year period. You were pretty much concentrating on your fine photography. But why did you want to go back to now being again back in daily practice?
Well, I didn't have a choice about leaving. I had a pistachio farm over a number of years with my brothers and fell off a tractor and broke my wrist. And from one day to the next, I was out of practice. That was right during the last year that I was president of the World Fed, but continued working within the profession, consulting with the largest chiropractic university and working on World Health Organization efforts of collaboration to become a collaborating center with a chiropractic university with WHO. So I never really left, and then did projects in India and a healthy city initiative in Bangalore, India, under the auspices of WHO, asking me to come in and help lead a project there.
Most people see a chiropractor, would you say, Gary, because of back and spinal issues?
That's probably the reason most that people go see a chiropractor. In fact, there was just a recent study done by the Bone and Joint Decade where chiropractic is shown as having the second highest incidence of infirmity due to back and neck problems and contributing to both death and disability.
How many sessions does it usually take to get somebody kind of back on their feet that's experiencing back pain?
It really depends on the age of the person, the type of injury or infirmity that they have. If it's a young child, they tend to get well rather quickly because the body is in such a rejuvenated state that they can accept change and improve rapidly. The older you are, the longer it takes. If there's injury such that there are limitations of matter, of bone loss or damage, it's going to take much longer. So it really depends on the age, the type of incident that's occurred that brings them into the office, and how they take care of themselves and follow directions.
Gary Arbach is with us. Dr. Arbach is the founding member of the World Federation of Chiropractic. He's just back from a major conference in South Africa. The physical manipulation, is there less of that now in the chiropractic field? And you were showing me a tool that you used before we went on the air that pretty much gives you, it eliminates the real kind of the rough stuff.
That's true. As we've been studying outcomes and evidence-based of chiropractic methods, there have been new tools that have been developed, one of which is an activator, which some people may be used to. It's been around for a long time. I use an integrator device, which replicates the action of the hand when you're doing an adjusted procedure by providing torque at the same time as you're providing a directional change into the vertebra. So there are new methods. I use sacro-occipital blocks with the pelvis and let gravity make the change rather than putting someone on their side and doing a very torqued movement on the side, which people might be used to. And with the neck, I don't do the rotational type changes. I adjust people using an instrument with their head in a neutral position, lying face down on the table.
You know, you said that your whole life pretty much changed when you fell off the tractor when you were at the pistachio farm. That must have been very frustrating for you, being in the medical profession and having to step aside and not be able to do your chosen profession.
Right. It certainly was. And it took some days, weeks of deliberation on my part to decide where I wanted to go. But the interesting thing is I found myself gravitating towards finding a way to make a permanent photograph. And a permanent photograph is one that's made using platinum and palladium metal salts rather than silver or now inkjet. And in doing that, you had to use a large negative. And I was used to using large negatives in chiropractic practice with x-ray film, 8 by 10 and 11 by 14 inch size film, like you would see in a doctor's or radiology lab. And I used that in the field with a field camera, and it was a very easy transition for me.
Your photography is highly acclaimed, as I mentioned in the introduction, in the Smithsonian, the Library of Congress. Your works are in the private collections of some pretty famous people.
Right. I've been fortunate. Arnold Schwarzenegger, Walter Cronkite, MacGyver. These are some of the individuals that have come to me for heirloom portraits. My whole concept was, when I began, to make a portrait for a family that might last 300, 400, 500 years. Like, in the early days, they might have a painting commissioned. Well, here I can make a photograph that's going to last with the same type of time span versus other types of photographic images, which have a limited life of 50 to 70 years. Mine will last 300, 400, 500 years, and ergo, that's why my first project along these lines was photographing American Indian peoples in a 12-year project.
And you're combining now with your practice arts and science. You
right.
say here, Gary Auerbach, chiropractic arts and science.
Yes, I think it's perfectly fitting because chiropractic certainly is an art, science, and philosophy, and the work I do with my photography involves art and science as well, with these platinum, palladium, noble metal salts that I work with. Is a little bit complex, but has become rather easy after you make a few thousand prints.
Where can people take a look at some of your photography, by the way?
Well, if you go to GaryAuerbach.com, you will find a general website. If you go to WeWalkInBeauty.com and no spaces, you will find my book of Native American photographs and interviews, which is all in the Smithsonian, with a great foreword from the curator of Princeton Photographs at the Library of Congress.
And for folks that want to get a hold of you for your chiropractic practice, it would be Dr. Gary Auerbach, AUERBACH.com.
Right.
And the phone number, 721-7177.
Right. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Thank you very much, Bill.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River, or online at vscott.com. That's V-S-C-O-T.com. The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
Since 2006, the RTA has completed more than 500 projects, including 180 miles of bikeways and more than 50 bus pullouts. Current projects include La Cañada from Ina to River and the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars have created more than 2,500 road construction jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA is delivering our promise to you.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Mm-hmm. Looking for a cool getaway this July? I highly recommend historic Bear Mountain Lodge, just minutes from the picturesque heart of Silver City, New Mexico, only 3.5 hours east of Tucson. Bear Mountain Lodge sits on 178 secluded acres nestled against the immense grandeur of the Gila National Forest. Check out this lovely high country tranquil oasis at BearMountainLodge.com.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Come in, sit down. You must be Megan and Mark. I'm Sharon, your wedding planner.
Hello.
Hi.
So, are you planning a large wedding?
150 guests.
Okay, then. Fairly large. Let me just get online and we can look at some venues.
Wow. Is that dial-up?
You bet. Oh, they keep trying to sell me fast internet, but come on, faster internet. I need that like I need a color monitor. Oh, now, I assume you'll be videotaping your ceremony? Oh, just ignore that. The machine will pick it up.
Your technology says a lot about your business. Cox Business Internet Professional offers speeds 10 times faster than basic DSL. Cox Business also gives you local support 24/7, free online backup and security. Bundle business internet starter and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today and make your business our business. Visit coxbusiness.com. Offer valid until July 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Speed comparison based on maximum download speed of Cox Business Internet Professional 15 megabits per second versus basic DSL 1.5 megabits per second. Other restrictions apply.
Twelve twenty-one on this Thursday afternoon here in Tucson. I'm Bill Buckmaster. It's the Buckmaster Show. Big weekend in the city of Benson, just 45 minutes east of Tucson and I-10. It's the signature event, really, for the city of Benson, the 8th annual Bluegrass Festival in the Park. Joining us on the Buckmaster Show, live line from Benson, Benson City Councilman Chris Moncada. Chris, how are you?
Hi, Bill. How are you doing? I'm doing pretty well.
Doing real well. And this is a big deal for you and your friends living in Benson. And I know you want to invite everybody in Southern Arizona to check this out. This is kind of a signature event, isn't it, Chris?
Yep, this is a big deal in Benson. We've been doing it for, like you said, for 8 years now. We have, you know, it's a 3-day event, April 26th, 27th, and 28th in the Lions Park in Benson, Arizona. We have many bands. We have Special Consensus, which is a 2013 Grammy-nominated bluegrass band. We have Boss Family Traditions, Run Boy Run, Anderson Family, James Reams and the Brainstormers, Jody Adams and the String Dudes. These people are from all over the United States coming down here to do an event for us.
Bluegrass is really, I think it's something that the whole family can enjoy, isn't it, Chris?
It is. It's good, wholesome music. We have a ton of vendors and things for people to do. We have children's, you know, time, kids' zones, a music workshop for the children. If you want, you can bring down your instruments, and we have the same musicians will teach you how to play these instruments after they're done on the stage. So you can bring down your fiddles, your mandolins, guitars, banjos, and the same musicians that you see up there on the stage will be teaching classes afterwards.
The Benson Bluegrass Festival is really featuring what you might call an instrument petting zoo.
Absolutely. That's a great way of putting it.
And I guess the kids then can touch the instruments and the fiddle, and they can fiddle with the fiddles, the guitars, the banjos, and the other bluegrass specialty instruments. So this would be really good for especially the young kids to give them an appreciation of the bluegrass genre. But it's also a chance that the kids can showcase their talents on stage, and I guess that will be devoted to Sunday afternoon at 1:15. Is that correct?
That's true. And we also have a Saturday at 1:30 for the kids zone too. So you can do it Saturday, April 27th at 1:30 for the kids zone. and also Sunday at 1:15 also.
And as far as folks that would like to do some camping, I guess you call it day camping, huh?
Yes. Well, the ticket prices are a three-day ticket price for an adult is $25, and that comes with a free camping space for your RV or your, you know, and so that's a good deal right there. If you want to come just for a day trip, Fridays we're open. The event is from 9:30 to 5, and it's $8 for adults. Saturday it's from 9 to 5:30, and it's $12 for adults. Sunday is from 10 to 5, and it's $12 for adults. 6 to 12 are half off. Children 6 to 12 are half off. Children 6 and under are free with a paid adult.
Chris, let me ask you, you are on the Benson City Council. How is the city of Benson doing financially these days? We don't hear a lot about it in the news. Are you financially sound over there?
Oh, yes, sir. That's why you don't hear about it in the news. We are doing a very good job down here. Our staff, I've been on the council for about 2 years, and we have an excellent staff here and an excellent city council that has done a great job of seeing the forecasting, you know, the downturn in the economy, and made some, you know, good decisions on how to save money and not go into excess, you know, during the good times of the economy. The council decided not to go out and spend a lot of money and get ourselves in deeply in debt. So we are in a great position, and we're, as most cities are, we're getting ready to start our budget here coming up. In fact, we'll be getting our budget books here in the next week or so, and we'll be going over that, and we'll be, you know, we don't have a whole lot of tough decisions to make, but, you know, every time you do a budget, that's a tough decision.
Let me ask you, Chris, we're speaking with Chris Moncada, Benson City Councilman. We've been talking about the upcoming Bluegrass Festival in Benson this weekend, but how has Karchner Caverns, which is really one of the major tourist attractions, how has that venue really helped? I'm sure it has helped, been a boon for the city of Benson.
It is. I mean, that is a great point. It really has, because you bring a whole different group of people to Benson that wouldn't normally come to Benson. You know, people from all over the world, all over the world will come to see what Karchner Caverns has to offer, and it's a beautiful cave. If you've never been here, you should come down and see it. I suggest making reservations ahead of time, because during the winter months, it is pretty packed. And it's a reservation only, but it is a big benefit to the city of Benson. It's a big benefit to the whole state. It is, as far as I understand, is one of the few state parks that actually pays for itself.
So it really has not, it's not been a financial drain really in any ways for the city government.
No, not at all. It is run by the state because it is a state park, but it has been a complete benefit to us. You know, and like I said, the state did a great job. They took it in. They made sure that it was taken care of, and that they put a lot of resources into advertising it and taking care of it. And they do a great job. It is a beautiful place, and there's places to camp out there. And it's a beautiful day trip if you can make it.
Benson having their big event, the 8th Annual Bluegrass Festival in the park, and we should point out that probably the best way to find out the schedule, I guess, would be to go to BensonVisitorCenter.com. Is that what you would recommend, Chris?
Absolutely, Bill. BensonVisitorCenter.com, or you can call 520-586-2245. That's the City Hall number. Or you can go to our Facebook page, and there's a schedule on there.
You also have some free workshops, right?
That we do. We have, like we had talked about, we have the workshops for the children. And if you want to hang around afterwards, after the festival, the bands will perform workshops where you can see how they learn to do their instruments, how the instruments work. And, again, if you bring your own instrument, they'll play right along with you.
Okay, Chris, thank you very much for being with us, and good luck with the event, which really, I guess everything starts up tomorrow, correct?
It does. It does. People are coming in tonight, so if you're looking for a camping spot, I suggest you come down here as soon as possible. But the event starts tomorrow morning.
All right,
at 9:30.
Chris Moncada with the Benson City Council talking about the 8th Annual Bluegrass Festival in the Park. Chris, thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Thanks a lot. Chris Moncada, Benson City Councilman, talking about the big Bluegrass in the Park festivities. We want to tell you about what's coming up on the Buckmaster Show tomorrow. Our Friday Focus interview will feature State House of Representatives Majority Leader David Gowan of Sierra Vista. Will be our Friday Focus interview. Joining me in the interview will be Sarah Garrett Gasson of the Arizona Daily Star, columnist and editorial writer, and Linda Valdez, columnist and editorial writer of the Arizona Republic. So we will have two of the state's major newspapers represented when we talk with Representative David Gowan. Still to come on the Buckmaster Show, we're going to get an idea about how the Tucson real estate industry is doing, and also waiting in the wings, Mr. Tom Collier, the Buckmaster Show contributor on consumer affairs. With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. New York City officials say the Boston Marathon bombing suspects plan to blow up their remaining explosives in Times Square. The New York officials told reporters today that the two suspects had a pressure cooker bomb and five pipe bombs they intended to set off. Authorities in Mississippi say they're searching for their chief person of interest in the investigation of those poisoned letters that were sent to President Obama and some other officials. John McCain says it's pretty obvious that the red line has been crossed, the Republican senator referring to what the Obama administration said was a line that Syria's government should not cross by using chemical weapons in the country's civil war. On Wall Street, the Dow is up about 16 points. The S&P ahead 5 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday afternoon, and I want to remind you that coming up, actually, the Pima Community College Foundation holding its annual scholarship recognition fiesta. That is actually today. The fiesta will celebrate scholarship recipients, honor major donors, and raise scholarship funds for the coming semesters. The proceeds from this event help Pima Community College. It's from 5 to 6 this afternoon at the Sheraton Tucson Hotel and Suites. That is coming up this afternoon. And it's now time for our CEO interview series on the Buckmaster Show, presented by TRIO, Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities Incorporated, offering programs and services to support the attraction and expansion of companies that offer primary high-wage jobs to our citizens. Since 2005, TRIO has facilitated the relocation and or expansion of 61 companies in the Tucson region, representing more than 17,000 jobs with a $2.4 billion economic impact. For more information, visit TRIOAZ.org. And joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line, Philip Tedesco, the Chief Executive Officer of the Tucson Association of Realtors. Prior to coming to Tucson, he served as the CEO of the San Mateo County Association of Realtors in California, and he was Vice President of Marketing at the Realtors Association of Greater Miami. Phil, how are you today?
Great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, it's our pleasure. And when we think about TRIO and some of the clusters that they put together in trying to attract good-paying jobs, you think of aerospace, defense, bioscience, transportation, logistics, and tourism. Where does real estate fit in there, Phil?
Oh, real estate, as you know, is one of the cornerstones of the community. And we play a huge role, I think, economically here. With the regional MLS here facilitates approximately $2.2 billion in sales annually. So I think it is clearly a cornerstone of the economy as it relates to Tucson.
Well, we're entering the spring home buying season. It's a peak period for home purchasing. Potential buyers look to make their move at this time of the year for, I guess, a variety of reasons, locating closer to the jobs, school districts, first-time buyers, the move-up buyers, new retirees coming to Tucson, and seniors who want to downsize. How do the market conditions look this spring, Phil, compared to a year ago?
I think we're in good shape. We have, inventory staying about the same, but the pricing has gone up significantly. We're up close to 13% in terms of median sales price for single-family residences over the past 12 months. And that's actually from about $132,000 and change to just over $150,000 currently. I mentioned inventory is flat, but I think the composition of the inventory is changing a little bit. For instance, we saw in February, we saw a huge spike in the number of new listings coming up, about 49%. And what we think was happening there is a lot of the folks who were hoping to sell their house at some point soon may have enough equity in it at this point to really go back and get it back on the market. So I think you're going to be seeing a lot of activity.
So it's pretty safe to say that the market's pretty much bottomed out from the dreary days of a year or so ago, a couple of years ago.
We'd like to think so. It makes me nervous predicting it moving forward, but I think the indicators are that that is the case. Part of that as well is the foreclosures. Number of foreclosures are down. When we look at first quarter 2013, I think it's down. The number of notices were down significantly.
over a year ago. And when we look back, I think a number of the adjustable rate mortgages that kind of got us in trouble to begin with back from 08, a lot of those were coming due towards the end of last year. So I'm hoping we're going to be seeing less of the foreclosure market moving forward.
Philip Tedesco is with us. He's the chief executive officer of the Tucson Association of Realtors. So it looks like there's some really good news with the local real estate market improving. And I guess that has a – there's certainly got to be a secondary trickle-down effect that helps to support Trio's efforts, correct?
Well, in general, yeah. I mean, if there's more houses moving, you know, if we look from February to March – the number of units increased, it's up significantly. And when we look at actual total sales volume for March, it was around $255 million. And, you know, first quarter this year over first quarter last year is a difference of close to $50 million in terms of production and money transferring. So obviously that has its ancillary effects on the economy when there's more money transferring hands. So I think it is moving in the right direction and playing a significant role.
Did quite a few realtors step out of the business during the hard times, Philip? Are you seeing now more of a stability in your profession locally?
Yeah, we saw close to a 30% drop over the past few years in terms of the membership. So we managed it well here at the association because we've got some diversified income streams, but a number of associations had to kind of regroup and figure out what they were doing because a lot of them are based mainly on their membership dues dollars. So luckily we were able to manage it well, but yeah, we lost pretty close to a third of our members in that time frame.
I know in the educational area, the Tucson Association of Realtors is trying to get young people involved in learning about home ownership. You conduct a special financial literacy program. What's that called? From high school to home ownership, is that correct?
Yeah, this is, let me preface it by saying this is one of the things I'm most proud of that we're doing in terms of community-facing initiatives. We have our program from high school to home ownership. It basically helps high school students take a critical look at future financial responsibilities and the process of purchasing or renting a home. We actually provide curriculum that teachers can use that help students recognize what their behaviors are related to money and credit and what consequences or effects that might have in the future when it comes time to rent or buy a house. The program was so successful. In the past 7 years, we've reached over 1,000 students in 25 schools. And just recently, we've built upon that curriculum and are expanding it to making the move to home ownership, which is very similar to what we're doing with the kids, but up in the folks, the younger adults who may be renting and looking to make the move from renting to owning. So very similar in terms of what we're doing, but a slightly different audience, and we've started rolling that out through partners like the United Way of Southern Arizona, Tucson Urban League. So a lot of the same type of criteria and information is reaching additional audiences, and hugely significant. We were actually just recognized nationally for this program because of its effect within the community. So I'm very happy about that.
You've worked in some other markets, San Mateo, the San Francisco Bay Area Peninsula, Miami. How is this market almost like a hybrid compared to others around the country?
There's a lot here. I mean, there is other drivers when you're in the Bay Area. You obviously have the technology driving a lot of it. But I think what we're seeing most is we've heard references nationally to the Sand States, which is pretty much Florida, Arizona, Nevada, California, those that were the most affected by this. We're hoping that being the first in, we're going to be the first out, so to speak. And I think we are seeing that. One of the things that I think is huge, I don't know if your audience recognizes how much of an effect housing might have on the economy, specifically new homes. I mean, when you look in Tucson, in 2006, it was like 1 in 3 homes was new. And when you look at that same number in 11, it was more like 1 in 11 homes. So the economic impact there, I mean, you pulled probably a couple billion out of the economy in terms of all the ancillary jobs that are offered. I mean, it's one thing with a resale, the house, it there's still an effect on the economy, but it's a little bit more significant on the new home side.
I hear somewhat of an East Coast accent.
You picked it up, huh? You take the kid from New York, but you can't take New York from the kid. Haven't lived there since the 80s, but yeah, I did. I grew up out in Eastern Long Island.
There you go.
You called me.
Why'd you get into real estate in the first place?
Oh, my background's association management. I'm just the one herding the cats. I haven't actually sold. I'm more of an organizational, nonprofit executive background.
Okay. Philip, thank you very much. Philip Tedesco, Chief Executive Officer of the Tucson Association of Realtors. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Thanks a lot. Our CEO interview series presented by TRIO, Tucson Regional Economic Opportunities Incorporated. Today we're talking with the CEO of the Tucson Association of Realtors. For more information about TRIO, visit TRIO.org. Tom Collier is with me in studio. We'll talk with Tom next.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Westin La Paloma, Tucson's iconic luxury resort and spa, is now better than ever with a $30 million resort rejuvenation that includes all guest rooms, public spaces, meeting rooms, upgraded golf and tennis, and soon a new pool area and enhanced fine dining. And the setting, well, it couldn't be better on 250 acres in the foothills of the Catalinas. Take a look at the rejuvenation at westinlapalomaresort.com.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects and creating more than 2,500 jobs since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and Grant Road at Oracle. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Noon Hour Buckmaster Show. We are here Monday through Friday, AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is brought to you by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, we've been telling you this week about the Tour of the Gila. Many, many bicyclists from all over the country will come to this event. It's a big deal in the bicycling world. It's a five-day bicycle stage race, May 1st through the 5th, and that's over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. And you're wondering, well, how far is it over there? Well, not far, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City. And there are plenty of fine places to stay in the area, including Bear Mountain Lodge, Casitas de Gila guest houses, and Silver City KOA. You can find out more about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico on their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Joining me now in studio for his monthly appearance on the Buckmaster Show, Tom Collier, our contributor on consumer affairs. Tom, how are you today?
I'm doing great. I was just thinking about bicycling in Silver City. If you rode over there and then bicycled in Silver City, you'd have lung capacity that wouldn't quit.
Oh, you know? I know, because Silver City is at
calf muscles the size of most people's thighs.
Yeah, the elevation of Silver City is the same as Denver, about a mile high. And just north in the really nice little community of Pinos Altos, historic community, that's about 7,000 feet. So even if you did a bicycle from downtown Silver City up to Pinos Altos, you would need good lung capacity.
A total workout.
Tom, I've seen these commercials for these mobility scooters, and it says at little or no cost to you. And I've always wondered,
it is to laugh.
How can that be basically, well, or no cost, talking about basically get your scooter for free? What's the catch?
Well, the catch is that while it may be at little or no cost to you, somebody pays for it. And most of the people who are involved in getting these mobility scooters are people who have a disability, or perhaps they've reached the point where they can't get around as well as you and I do. And so they go to a physician who prescribes one for them. Well, with a prescription, guess who pays for it? Medicare, usually.
Oh.
So people on supplemental income or disability programs or Medicare usually winds up paying for those scooters. So that's why there's at little or no cost to you. Now, the commercials that you're talking about that we've seen for this one particular company have been pretty ubiquitous. And, oh, my gosh, all of a sudden, those have disappeared. You don't see them on TV anymore.
What happened to
the
company?
I wonder why. Well, they went bankrupt.
Oh.
They've declared Chapter 11 bankruptcy, but they – part of what pushed them into bankruptcy was a claim by the Social Security Administration and by the Medicare people that they had overbilled Medicare by $42 million.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, that's not, in the overall scheme of things, considering the size of the country and the general price for those things, they're usually $3,000 or $4,000. You can do the arithmetic. And $42 million, I couldn't write a check for it myself, but $42 million is quite a chunk of change. So they're not going out of business. They're still in business. They laid off 1,000 employees at their plant back east, and I'm sorry, the location just escapes me at the moment. But
the plant where they make these
scooters, these electric battery powered mobility scooters. You see a lot of them, and a lot of, and they're a good thing for people who have difficulty getting around. They've increased their mobility. I like to think that Tucson not only has bike lanes, but we have mobility scooter lanes, too. You look for the little red flag, the little whip flag.
I've seen them out there in the bike lanes. Yeah.
I've often wondered how far what the range is for one of those things and what the speed limit is on
what
one of those things.
What do they cost? Any
about $3,000 or $4,000.
Oh, really?
It depends on how you equip them and the range that you go for and those types of things.
So if you want a top of the line with all the bells and whistles, probably cost you close to, I don't know.
Well, $4,000, más o menos. But the point is that Medicare pays for them. So if you've got somebody who has little or no cost to them, you and I have paid for that through our tax dollars. The issue that I want to raise here, though, is so you have one of these. Well, your manufacturer company, and they're in, I believe, Sarasota, Florida. Just remembered. Yeah, down in Florida. And the problem is if you have one of these and it's still under the warranty period, and they're warrantied for about a year and a half, where do you go for repair? they're in a Chapter 11 bankruptcy, which means that they're court supervised in terms of their plans to get out of it, and they have to present a plan. Chapter 13 is personal, where you present a plan. Chapter 11 is where a business presents a plan. But at any rate, so if you have one of these scooters, mobility scooters, and it breaks, where do you get the warranty? Where do you get the warranty work? Because many of the people who were let go are the local reps for these companies. So if you have a problem, you're either going to have to contact the company, and it's cloudy right now what the outlook is on those particular mobility scooters. Now, my question to you is, can you guess, since they've gone off the air and you don't see those commercials anymore, who's taken their place?
Who?
Walk-in bathtubs at little or no cost to you.
Okay. Sequestration. How about? Yeah, that's anybody that's been out to the airport flying anywhere this week knows there are delays.
For the time being, as you plan make your travel plans for this summer, you just need to be aware that you're going to have delays. Part of the problem with sequestration is that it was an across-the-board meat axe approach. You got to cut. There can't be any. There's no finesse in determining where it'll be cut. And because of this, that's why they're getting the complaints. People are now finally beginning to call their congressmen or their senators and begin to complain, because now they're personally inconvenienced in this area. Mm-hmm. It's starting to hit home. Mm-hmm. But I want to talk about what your strategy as an individual traveler should be if you're going to have a 3-4-5 hour delay in what your normal travel plans are in this area. It's just something that unless and until Congress acts and the White House acts in concern, and I'm going to leave the political commentary to your guests who are in that mode. But I'm going to say plague on both their houses because of this particular situation, because of the sequestration that has been cut. Finally, they're beginning to get some heat. And who was it? I think it was Everett Dirksen, the great senator from Illinois, who said, "When I feel the heat, I see the light." So they're finally beginning to feel the heat in Congress and seeing the light. So one of the things that you need to be aware of is that it is going to cost. And if you make your changes, if you decide you need to change your itinerary quietly without a lot of fanfare, because they never do this kind of stuff with fanfare, the airlines have raised the fee for an itinerary change.
I know that.
On these non-refundable,
unfortunately,
tickets. Mm-hmm. United, for example, raised its flight change fee from $150 to $200 domestically. And if it's an international flight, some of the airlines, and United here, charges $300 now to make make an itinerary change. So you want to be sure that your itinerary is where you want it to be, and take the precautions. Well, people say, well, what about buying this trip cancellation insurance?
Travel
insurance usually only covers things like medical reasons for having to cancel. So a change of plans isn't really covered by this type of thing. So when you log on online or you click the box that says, yeah, I'll pay the extra $29 for the insurance, it's usually, first of all, a medical emergency.
Yeah, you'll have to have documentation for sure. The insurer, from your doctor or whatever.
The insurance company, the insurance adjuster, when you make this claim, will also check with your doctor to make sure that the reason was not an underlying pre-existing condition, because that's one of the clauses in a lot of these insurance programs. The flight cancellation insurance companies say that if you have a pre-existing condition, it's not covered. So I was reading a case about an individual who made the claim because she was short of breath and her physician advised her not to fly. Well, they finally got to the point where they asked the physician a question that there was no way the physician could escape assigning the blame for this, if you want to say blame, to this woman's underlying pre-existing condition. And with that, from the doctor, the insurance company then denied the claim. So this woman was out $1,400, $1,500 for tickets, airline tickets, even though she paid the premium because it wasn't a covered event by her insurance. So those are the things you need to be aware of. You're just going to have to be more cautious, more prudent as a consumer during sequestration. And I don't know, maybe even more proactive in contacting your congressman and the White House to get this thing fixed.
The fine print of some of these travel insurance policies.
Ain't it the truth? The fine print giveth, the headline giveth and the asterisk taketh away is what we say.
Is sequestration, I'm just about out of time, but I heard something about fewer IRS agents?
Yeah,
being,
that was. You know,
are
the
they
tax,
on furlough too?
The tax filing season is over, and one of the things that sequestration has done, though, is that there are IRS agents on furlough. There was something which was very quietly done in Congress, a renewal of an agreement so that the IRS can provide you with tax assistance, tax information, and free filing, free electronic filing, but they can't provide you with tax prep services because that's reserved to the private industry. And the IRS, in this particular agreement that was renewed just last month, can't provide individual tax prep service.
Tom Collier, very good information. Thank you, Tom, and we'll see you next month.
Good deal. Thanks, Bill.
Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. All of our guests here are offered, and they gladly accept, a bottle of Culligan water. And why wouldn't they? Culligan water, it simply tastes better. Coming up this afternoon, it's the John C. Scott Show from 3 to 5 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. Tomorrow morning, Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe, and we'll put a plug in for the Buckmaster Show, our Friday Focus interview tomorrow, talking with the House of Representatives Majority Leader, Representative David Gowan, will be our Friday Focus interview. We hope you have a great afternoon. We'll be back with you at 12:04. Have a good day.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.